So we pick up at the bottom of 57b. We are quoting, you know, we'd mentioned a whole lot yesterday, all the different details, and the last little bit was quite similar as to why all of land, slaves, documents, and hektish did not get. Were not subject to an hour. And then we said Shomer Shima, Shomer Chinam, Aino Nishba. And we'd mentioned that also that an unpaid guardian does not swear if these items were taken or lost. And now the Gemara comes along and brings a raises a contradiction. Remini Bnei Ir Sheshalchu Et Shiklahem. The Nignavu or Sheavdu. Basically, it's we have a discussion in Shkalim where it says that if what happened is that, let's just give an introduction that you have to give a half shekel every year. People have to give it during Adar sometime, which is why we read Parashat Shkalim just before Adar starts. Really, Adar was the time that they started bringing in all the half shekels, and they used to take them up to Jerusalem. What used to happen was that you have to give in every year. You had to give your half a shekel to the Beit HaMikdash, and that was used to purchase the communal offering, the Tamid offering, and that is that's what needed to be done. So now, during Adar, you used to come along, they used to take it, either you used to bring it up yourself, or as we're going to see the cases here, you gave it to someone to bring up on your behalf. All right, and the idea is that everyone has a share in all the offerings. Okay, so now it's not an EFT. So what happens is, obviously, it has to be transported there. So now, let's say the people of the city, they gathered together and they appointed a specific person to come along, and he would give it to someone to bring up to the Beit HaMikdash. So what happens is that all these people gathered together, they gave it to someone, and what happens, those coins were stolen, or the person lost them. All right, so that's not a good thing. But now the question is when this happened. Im shnit arma hatruma shnitrama hatruma. So what happens? What they used to do was the Mishnayot and the Gemara in Shkalim come and deal with all of these questions and detail the procedures. And what they used to do was they used to collect right at the beginning. They needed the new Shkalim for the first of Nisan, but then at two other times during the year. So really, it's three times a year that they used to pick up all the shkalim and used to separate the shkalim. So if it had already been collected from the lishka, the chamber of shkalim, and nishbayan legins barim, these agents have to swear to the treasurer. These agents have to take an oath to the treasurer that they did not steal the coins themselves. Imlav and nishbayan mivnair. If those coins had not been separated yet, then their responsibility to swear is to the people of the town that they never took these coins. Mivnair shoklin achraim. And if the coins hadn't been separated in the actual Beit HaMikdash itself, then it's as if it was on the way and in the post, and therefore it's considered never having reached the Beit HaMikdash. If, however, the coins had already been separated, what happens is the idea is that actually the people that separate the trumas, they say, listen, this is for items that are on the way as well as things as well, and therefore if the person lost them or they got stolen, then actually that would be fine, because they wouldn't, the people didn't have to replace it. If, however, those coins had not yet, these guys were early on, and the coins had not been separated, neither of the three separations had been made. So what happens is that the people at that early stage, they have to replace those coins, and that's what we're talking about here. Nishbayan Levna'ir, that's what the people of the city, Shoklin Achrayan, they have to come along and re-give the half shekel. They gave it, it got lost. There's no insurance over here, and therefore they have to re-give it. Vnimsa, or shechizun hagnavim, or elev elev shoklinheim. So in other words, and that's it. Right, so they have to repeat it. So no, sorry, nimsa, if those coins were found after they got lost, or shechizun hagnavim, or else the thieves that stole them returned them. They didn't maybe realize that it was shekel money, and it was holy, maybe they felt a bit bad. Elev Alu Shoklinheim, both of these, the new coins that were separated, plus the old coins were separated. Vein Olim Nahem Lashana Haba, and you can't even claim a credit to for next year. In other words, both of those shekels got given to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, and that is that. All right, so now here, surely we're seeing that this person, this Shomer Chinam, this guy that was watching them, swears about something holy, and that swears about like Hektesh, and that goes against our principle, doesn't it? And Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says, no, what are we discussing over here? Hacha benosei sachar askinan. Here, the guys aren't doing these people a favor, they are charging a fee for taking these shekels up. So here we're dealing here with a paid guardian, and therefore, you know, so that is that. So therefore, nishbain letosr charan, and really their oath is to collect their wages over here, to collect their reward, the amount that they are charging the people. Gemara says, listen, but Ihachi and Nishban Ligizbaran, so why are they swearing to the Gizbar, to the temple treasury? Surely, you know, what they got to do with anything? They want to collect their money, they got to swear, listen, they got to swear to the Bnei Ir, the Bnei Ir mi Baalei, so they've got to swear to the people that gave them the coins to look after in the first place. They got to say, listen, you didn't do, they're being accused of not doing their job, and they say, listen, well, we got an excuse, etc., etc., and therefore we still want to collect our money. You know, we are exempt from the loss over there, and that's who they should be swearing to. What's it got to do with the temple treasurer? Nothing. Amar Rabba. Rava says, no, Nishban Livnei Ha'ir B'mamad Ginsbaren. So what does it mean that they swear to the treasurer? No, they swear to the people of the city, you know, in front of the treasurers. Okay, why? Ki heichi delo nishkadinu, right? Because otherwise the treasurers are going to say, listen, these guys are not good guys. We're not going to ever recommend these people again, because maybe they had it like a kind of arrangement. They said, listen, we've used these guys before, they've transported it up from such and such a place, we trust them, etc. Now all of a sudden they there's a bit of a story, all the money that was given gets lost, and therefore it's problematic. So they have to swear in front of the treasurers, so the treasurers won't suspect them of stealing as well. All right, so or that the people of that city didn't you know, contribute. Okay, so that's why they have to swear in front of the the treasurers and the people of the city. They're going to say, listen, we gave the shekels in, and these guys lost them. Or got stolen. Inami kiyaki delo likru lehu poshim. And also the idea, as I was explaining, is that so that the temple, the treasurers won't say that they are poshim, right? So that is so either the people of the city won't be suspected, and neither will these agents be suspected as well. So those two, for those two reasons, they swear to in front of both of them. It says, but what about the case? Im vahai nignavu osha abtu katani. But surely we just learned in the Mishnah if these items were stolen or lost. And we know when we saw a little bit of this when we started in the third chapter, when we started talking about Shomrim for a little bit, but we'll see a lot more in later chapters, you know, after chapter 5, which is interest, which we're going to get to soon. We're going to see the other chapters, later chapters, deal a lot with Shomrim, so we're going to see a lot more detail about that. But one of the things that a Shomer Sachar is liable for Shomer Sachar, Beganeva, Vaveda, Chayeva, Chiyuva, Mechayev. All right? So what happens is that if it gets lost or stolen, if you are a paid guardian, then you are actually liable to repay it. So what's the point? How is it going to help them to swear? They're going to have to pay anyway. Haka Nami, no, dehi, de shukai, lo mashalche, agrihu, mia, liftor. So therefore, you know, even though it's holy property that they are guarding over here, it's consecrated shkalim, you know, but what's going to happen? At least, you know, maybe they might not have to repay all the shkalim, but at least their wages, they'd have to lose their wages. All right, so that's it. At least that they can't go along, lose everything, not do the job, but say, listen, you still have to pay me. So surely, you know, what's the point in them? What's the point of them swearing? Because they shouldn't be able to collect their wages. Amarabba, what are we talking about here? Nignavu listim as muzianim muziyam avdu shetava sminato biam. So what happens is that Rabba says, listen, this is not a standard case of negligence on their behalf. This is a case of ones on their behalf. And when it comes to a case of ones, then even a Shomer Sachar is not liable to do it. So it claims ones, i.e. something totally unpreventable. For example, when it says it was stolen, it was hijacked from them. The guys came and held up the thing. And it's not that they were negligent and they just left it exposed on the side of the road and someone quickly walked past and grabbed some of the money or all of the money. It's they were held up. That was a proper robbery and they were held up by armed guards. So what could they do? They didn't have a choice but to give up, you know, the same way that there are, you know, the money in transit hijackings and stuff like that. So it's a very sophisticated operation, and that's it. So here, they couldn't do anything about it. And avdu, when it meant lost, it means that the ship sank at sea. That it's not just they are being negligent and leaving it lying around and say, oh, I've forgotten where I put it, and that's it. So these things are beyond their control, and therefore, Shomer Sachar would actually swear and collect his wages on that behalf. Right, so now Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harmani, who is this opinion? Is this Rabbi Shimon? This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Damar, Kochim, Shekhaiv, Achriyutan, Yesh Lehem, Ona, Venishban, Aleim. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, we can also explain this like in the Mishnah. It's like Rabbi Shimon, who has mentioned before, we've seen. It says, holy items for which you bear responsibility. That's it, and they get lost. Then there is a concept of ona, and therefore you would swear about them. So maybe this is that situation as well, because these people are liable for that. Now the Gemara says, but hold on, ha'nicha ad shlo nitrama ha'truma. As we explained, this case of the Mishnah, this works out according to the first case of the Mishnah, where we said the people of the city are going to have to replace their shkalim if they haven't been. If the truma had not had been separated from the lishka, the chamber as well. But hold on one sec. Mishin truma hatruma. Once the truma has been separated, kochim shaino chay brachutan achriyutan ninu. Then it becomes like kochim. Holy item, which you don't have responsibility anymore. But Tanya, as we learned in a brighter Torimim, ala avod v'alag gavoy v'alatid legvot. Right? Because when they separated, they separated in their head. Intention, they said, listen, those coins that got lost on the way, and those that are collected but hadn't yet arrived, and those that are going to be collected in the future. Because really what they wanted is that all the Jewish people had a share in this offering, okay? And if a guy hasn't come along and given his half shekel yet, well then he, in theory, shouldn't have a share, and that's not fair. So what you want all of Israel to have a share. So therefore, they separated on their behalf. granted, you've got to give your half shekel in still. But still, here in this situation, we say that you should come and we separate on your behalf. So then they don't have to, they wouldn't have to necessarily repay it. Okay, so you don't have to go along and repay it. Would be the best thing to do if they wanted to. They could repay it, but you don't have to, and that's it. So therefore, it's the coins that are still on the way when they arrive, they don't have to be replaced. Ella, Amar Reb Elazar, it must be Shua Zu Takana Chachamim Hi. So really, there's not a derata Shua, and therefore we don't have to say it's not real swearing on something that is holy. It's only a rabbinical thing. Shlo Yu Bnei Adam Mezalzlin Behekta Shot, so that people don't treat the half shekel contribution lightly, because if they said, if we lose it, we don't even have to swear, then they're going to say, we don't even have to look after it, because anyway it gets covered after everything's, no, we have to come along and make them swear in order that they look after it properly. All right, so now, Nosa Sachar, the Mishnah then said, a person that is paid, if these items are stolen or lost, Rami ba Lai Rav Yosef ba Chama le Rava. So Rav Yosef ba Chama says in front of Rava, Tanan, we learned, Nosa Sachar, Aino Mashalayim, our Mishnah says, a paid guardian doesn't pay. Rumini, Hasocha et Apol, Lishmor, et Apara. Okay, so what happens is if you hire someone to look after the Para Aduma, okay, so the Para Aduma, there are very few of them, and there have only been 9 in history so far, and what happens is you've got to make sure that these people are there. The paradigm is guarded, because otherwise if someone puts a load on it or does something or lets something happen to it, you've lost this whole paradigm. So it's a very valuable commodity. Similarly, Lishmor Tapra Lishmor Etatinok. Okay, so to watch children to ensure that they remain pure from birth. Okay, that's really it's a Mishnayot in Yadayim expanded upon in the beginning of Yuma. What they used to do was they used to bring these pregnant women to these caves, etc., and they used to have children over there, and the children were brought up for years over there. They used to have education and toys and everything like that, one would assume. And they basically they came and they did. They were brought up there in absolute purity to kind of draw water for the para aduma mixture. Okay, so that is that. A whole lot to discuss there, but not relevant for us. Lishmor et azraim, to come along and to guard the seeds needed for the omer offering. And it says ein notnim lo schar shabbat. If you just hired it, the person for the day, you can't pay them if you hired them specifically on a shabbat, you're not allowed to pay them for shabbat. Lefichach ein achriut shabbat alav. Therefore, if something would happen on Shabbat to this item, then they would not be liable. He can't be paid on that day, and therefore it's not liable. However, haya sakhir Shabbat, if he's hired for a week, sakhir chodesh for a month, sakhir shana, hired for a year, sakhir shua, he's hired for a 7-year period, not nim do skar Shabbat, then you are allowed to give him money for Shabbat as well, because what's known as havla, you come and it gets swallowed up within the larger amount, so it's not actually for Shabbat. We say it's for the weekdays, you're not paying him on Shabbat. We say lefichach achriut Shabbat alav, and therefore he'd be liable on Shabbat as well. My love, Lashalem, what do you mean he'd be liable? His responsibility as well. Surely that means if anything would happen, he'd be liable if he would cause loss, if he was negligent or something like that. And included in these are items that are essentially holy, the Parah Adama, and etc. So surely that is the... that's a proof against our mission. The Gemara says, "Lo, lahafsid skaro." No, really, it means that he will lose his wages, as we kind of seen with the Bnei Er. Yachi rashai de katani ein acheret shabbat alav. So if that is the case, what about the first part of the Brat? So it says, which teaches that there's no responsibility, they've got no responsibility on Shabbat. Hachanami, Livsid Skar, is that only with regard to losing your wages? Me itlay skar Shabbat. How can a person have skar Shabbat? We know the principle is vakatani ain not nim skar Shabbat. You know, so you don't give him the amount of money for working on Shabbat. So Ishtik, he kind of kept quiet. For that, Rabbi kept quiet. He wasn't able to answer. Amalei midi shmaili b'hai. Rabbi asked Rav Yosef Bachama, "Have you heard anything about this?" Amalei hachi amar Rav Sheshet. This is what Rav Sheshet says. B'shet kanu. No, really what it is, where the laborers came along and committed to take responsibility, and they did an act of acquisition with the people that hired them as well. And also, v'chein amar Rabbi Yochanan, shekanu miyado, they kind of did an acquisition, and they committed to the one, and they did an acquisition. Once you go ahead and do an acquisition, it kind of formalizes it even more. So that is how you would explain that. All right, so now this the last little bit. Not quite the last bit of the Mishnah. We've got two more quotes before we get to a new Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kochim Shkai Vachriyotan Yashlem Ona, Vshayno Chai Vachriyotan Ein Lehem Ona. So if you bear responsibility for this animal, then you can swear. There is the law of Ona and swearing for Kochim. However, if you don't bear responsibility, financial responsibility, then there is no Ona. Okay, Tani Tana Kamaid Rav Yitzchak Ba'aba, Tana taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Ba'aba, he's talking about he says as follows: Kochim Shkai V'Achutan. For a time where a person is liable to replace animal, then Chayv Shi Kare Bahen Bahem V'Chikesh. All right, you it says against Hashem, and he deals falsely. Really, this is quoting a pasuk, where it says if anyone sins and does M'ila against Hashem and deals falsely with his friend, we're talking about a deposit or a pledge or robbery and an oshek, right? So really what happens is he deals falsely. If it's a kochim, it's a sacrificial animal, and you have to do it, so it's both against you as well and Hashem. All right, and it says, "Sheino chayv b'achritan." If it's against, if a person does something wrong with an animal for which the other person doesn't bear responsibility, he says, "Listen, this animal," and then the guy does something to that animal, and there's no more animal after that. Patur, then. He is exempt. Shani Kore Bahen Amito Vikikesh. All right, so you are exempt because you say with your neighbor and you deal falsely as well. So a sacrificial animal, because you really that all you've done wrong is to your person. He didn't get the opportunity to give the offering, but you haven't really caused a loss per se to the Beit HaMikdash. That is the brat. Amalei klapelai. Is that really the way it should go? Surely it should be the opposite. Ikemistabra. Surely you should go the opposite. So surely, and when you swear about an animal that's a sacrifice, you've got no responsibility. That is surely that is definitely the Beit HaMikdash is losing out over there. It's like owned by the person as well. So the person said, this animal that is owned by me is going to be a sacrifice. So now you're really making the Beit HaMikdash lose out as well as this other person, as opposed to an animal which you said, this animal is dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash. So in some respect, it's no longer his. So Amalei, should I come along and delete this brata? I can see where you're coming from, and maybe it's... You're right about that, and I've made a mistake, and therefore, should I delete it from a thing? I'm a law, la, all right, so law, you shouldn't do it. Shehachi kamar. This is what we say. Kochim shechayev akritan. Things, animals that are liable to be replaced over there. Chayev. It rabu be Hashem v'chikesh. Sheino, you know, because really that you've. It belongs to Hashem, but also you've committed to giving it, so you've done both of those things. V'she'enu chai v'rechutan pattern. You are, you know, if you don't bear responsibility, you are exempt because demit amito v'chikesh. All right, and you know, that's it. So really, it says with your neighbour and you deal falsely. Really, the only reason that you would have to bring an offering for this false oath, in the sense, is that if you it belongs to an normal person as well, okay. But if it belongs completely to Hashem, you know, then it would not, you'd not have to bring it, okay. So we have that discussion as well. Okay, so now the last part of that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Afamocher sefer Torah magliot ubahema ein lehemona." So if you sell a sefer Torah, a pearl, or a specific animal, then there is no ona over that. And they replied to him, "No, it's only those these things that we'd mentioned before." So Tanya, we discussed this a bit more. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Afamocher sefer Torah." Ein lo ona. So if you sell a Sefer Torah, there's no ona when it comes to a Sefer Torah. We discussed the numbers yesterday. Can you sell something for double? Could you sell it for a huge amount more than what the actual worth is? Because maybe the actual worth is subjected. Lefish ein kates ledamea. Yeah, we're saying is there is no limit to the amount people spend, you know, thousands of dollars on a Sefer Torah. So also it could have sentimental value. So literally, there's no. It could be subjective as well, and therefore there's no limit on that. Behema maglot ein lehemona mibnei she adam rotze le zugam. Right. So what happens is that. An animal and a pearl, also there's no ona, because a person might want that exact thing to come along and pair it up. An animal, if you've got an animal exactly like that, can be paired up, they're going to work well together. And a pearl is, you connect it with another similar pearl to make jewelry. So, you know, it's got much more value than an objective value, because this person's got a subjective need for it. And Amri Lo. The rabbis said back to Rabbi Yehuda, "Valo kol adam rotze lezugan." Surely everyone wants to come along and pair these items with similar things. When you buy something, you have an idea that you want to connect it to. Rabbi Yehuda, "Hani chashivle." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No, these specifically are significant to a person. So it's not just any time you want to do it. These specific things are significant to him." "V'halo chashivi." You know, these things are important to them, and these things are not as important to them. So the Gemara says, "Ad kama?" You know, how much does it go? Amaramayma ad kadei damim. No, you can double, up to double the amount before it's not considered now. Okay, so that is Amaima's view. Okay, but a Sefer Torah seemingly doesn't have any limit. It said before, Sefer Torah has got no limit, but animals, you're prepared to pay even double, or pearl, you're prepared to pay double. All right, so now, a similar kind of concept, Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateir says, "Afa mocher sus v'saif v'chitum kititum." What happens if you sell a horse, a sword, or a helmet b'milchama at a time of war? Ein lehem ona. There's no ona with regard to those things. Really, these things are essential for war. A person is willing to totally overspend whatever he needs to. He can come along and spend any amount of money in order to save his life. All right, so now what we move on to the last Mishnah in the Perek, and it's going to be the second last Mishnah in the Perek. Third last. All right, we're getting towards the end of the Perek, but It's very now the chapter moves onto onat dvarim. Okay, up until now we've dealt with monetary cases and the like, and now what we move on into onat dvarim, causing pain to people through words. Okay, it's gushem shona. The same way there is ona when it comes to buying and selling. Kakona v'devarim. So too, there's ona when people say things. Okay, to say horrible things against a person. Lo yomar lo bekama chafetz ze v'hu einu rotze likach. So this we start off with a commerce related one, where you say to a seller, how much are you selling the item? Meanwhile, you've got no intention to buy it. Imaya. Baal tshuva, and if the person is a baal tshuva, lo yomar lo zechor ma'asecha harishonim. Don't come along and say to him, listen, you know, remember what you used to do. Okay, that's just nasty to the person. Now he's a baal tshuva. Remember you, ben gairim. And if he's a son of a ger, lo yomar lo zechor ma'asecha avotecha. Remember the deeds of your fathers. Shema ger tolo tonu velo til chatzenu. Right, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to mistreat or oppress, nor oppress a convert. All right, so really what this is, Dafka, I think it's the Pnei Yoshua. I did look and see, he says, listen, why Ben Gairim? Why the son of a convert over here? Because of the fact that the convert himself, you know, has gone through such a lot. You know, he might, you know, might have thought, like, you know, the whole reason for me converting anyway was because I used to do these things and now I want to separate myself from them. So that doesn't, you know, that's not really even going to affect him. Because he says, yeah, I know, that's why I did it. And that's it. So as opposed to the son of the convert, which says actually that, you know, if you know what your ancestors did, that's just nasty to him, and that is or not. All right, so the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, lo tonu eshet amito, in Parshat Bahar, it says you're not allowed to go along and to onu, you know, do ona, which is, you know, be oppress, really, or mistreat your friend. It says, v'yareite melekecha, and it comes along and says you have to fear Hashem. After that, but no, Tavraim, Hakatum Medaber, we, the rabbis apply this to you hurting someone with words. Atama, Bona Tavraim, you say it's hurting someone with statements, or Aino Ella, Bonat Mamon, maybe it means overcharging him, as we saw from page 49. Koshu Omer, Vichitim Kru, Mimkar, Lamitecha, or when it says in the verse just before that, which we have quoted, if you buy something from your friend, if you sell something from your friend, that is really talking, that verse is talking about monetary mistreatment. It says, what does it mean you shouldn't oppress your friend or mistreat your friend? Must be talking about using words to mistreat him. And now it gives more examples. In what way would you do this? If the person is Baal Tshuva, Al Tomar Lo Zechor Ma'asecha Rishonim, remember your earlier days. Imaya Ben Gairim, you know, if he's the son of Gairim, Al Tomar Lo Zechor Ma'asecha Avatecha, remember what your forefathers did. Imaya Gair, if he is a convert to Valimot Torah, and he wants to learn Torah, Al Tomar Lo, don't say to him, Pe Shachon Veilot Treifot Shkatim Ramasim Valimot Torah Shinimra Mipia Gvura, you coming along, you know, within you've eaten all sorts of animals, you know, animals that were inshechted and animals that are trafers and creepy crawlies and all sorts of disgusting things. And now you want to use that same mouth to learn Torah, which comes from Hashem. And it says, Umaya, lo yusurim ba'analav, and a person is very sick, Umaya, chaleim ba'alav, and if he's somehow having trouble, or else he's very sick, you know, lo alaini, any of these things, Umaya, makaver et banav, or else his children die, lo alaini, lo amar lo, kadesh amri lo, chaverav, lelot, and don't be like the people with in the times of Lot. Hello, Yiratcha Kisal Letcha Tikvatcha Tom Dvarcha Zachor Ki Mi Yuze Naki Avad. Because they said to him, listen. You know, you must have essentially, they said to him, you know, surely you should believe in Hashem. Hashem wouldn't be punishing you if you were innocent. And therefore, you know, so who died, you know, being innocent? In other words, you must have sinned. Otherwise, you know, and that's why you're being punished over here. Similarly, imaya lo chamarim bevakshin tua mimenu. If the donkey drivers want to buy some grain, lo marlem luku etel ploni shu moka tua. Okay, so let's quickly revise that. Imayu chamarim bevakshin tua mimenu. If the donkey drivers are asking to buy grain from, he said, "Where do you know where we can buy grain? Lo marlem luku etel ploni shu moka tua." You shouldn't say to them, go along to that guy over there that sells tua over your day, Sh'ainlo Mechem Olam. And you know that you're just doing it to be nasty to him because you know that he doesn't have any grain to sell. That's just being nasty to both parties in that sense. So that's not a good thing to do. Okay, Rabbi Hud Omer, Aflo Yetlenu Einav. And also you shouldn't pretend to be examining something, some type of something to buy, if you haven't got any money to buy it. So therefore, you know, even possibly even a non-verbal or not over here, it's problematic because you're kind of getting this the seller excited, maybe that someone's looking at the to buy it. Okay, and that's it. And now, Shorei Devar, Masur Lelev. Because the matter is actually given over to the heart of a Kodavar. I'm a sort of live in Amav, Bo, Vereita Melokecha. Remember, as we mentioned, the verse says, it says you should not do it because Vereita Melokecha, you have to fear Hashem. And that is why what you have to do is, you know, even though you could have deniability, you could say, listen, I never intended that, etc., etc. Really, Hashem knows what's going on in your heart, and that's why you have to fear Hashem. All right, so now, Amma Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan says the name Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Gadol, Onat Varim, Onat Mammon. Being horrible to someone with words is worse than if you rip him off from a monetary point of view. Why would that be? When it comes to words, it finishes off. The verse finishes off. You should fear Hashem. With monetary things, it doesn't say you have to fear Hashem. Okay, so it seems that fearing Hashem, you're going almost like directly against Hashem, which is worse. Rebbe Lazar says, listen, ze gufo of ze mamono, one is to the actual person's body, to it, and the one is just to his money. It's one thing to rip a person off with his money, but you affect him. It's that him as well. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani Omer, ze netane shavon, of ze lo netane shavon. With monetary cases, you can come and give him restitution, you can pay him back. Where it comes to his, where you've hurt him, it's much more difficult to go along and do it. And as we're going to see, going along, and I think we'll actually stop over there and pick up with some very famous stuff tomorrow about Onat Tavarim and treating people badly with words, very famous Gemaras. But really, just to understand, you know, when you embarrass someone, which is with the next part of the Gemara, really that person, the embarrassment lasts, and that's a very big thing. If you go along and you embarrass someone, every time they remember it, they get further embarrassed as well, and that is that. All right. So as you mentioned, we'll stop there. Everyone should have a great day.